ای برادران، به نام خداوند ما عیسی مسیح از شما تمنا دارم که با هم توافق داشته باشید و در میان شما تفرقه نباشد، بلکه در اندیشه و رأی با هم متحد باشید. زیرا ای برادران من، اهل خانه خلوعه به من خبر دادند که در میان شما جدال هاست. مقصود این که یکی از شما میگوید من متعلق به آپولوس هستم، یکی میگوید من به کیفا تعلق دارم، و دیگری که من از آن مسیح هستم. آیا مسیح تقسیم شده است؟ آیا آپولوس بود که برای شما بر صلیب رفت؟ و آیا با نام پولس تعمید گرفتید؟ خدا را شکر میکنم که به جز کریسپوس و گایوس هیچ کس دیگر از شما را تعمید ندادم، تا کسی نتواند بگوید به نام من تعمید یافتید. البته خانواده استفانوس را نیز تعمید دادم، ولی به یاد ندارم کسی دیگر را تعمید داده باشم.
آمین.
I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power.
Amen. Thank you very much. Shall we pray for Sandra as she unpacks God's word to us? Father, thank you for Sandra. Thank you for her devotion to you. Thank you that you called her into your service. And now, Lord, we pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that she would know your presence with her, Lord, as she unpacks your word to us, and that we would hear your voice through her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, and happy International Women's Day. I don't know what you're going to do with that, but that's up to you. So, we are week two into our new series, Living Right in a Messy World. I nearly said, living in a right messy world, but living right in a messy world. We had the introduction last week and we're getting into it now. We could look at hypotheticals, but we have the luxury of a real letter from a real person to a real church community. So we may as well get stuck into that. Sorry, would you? A bit more? Keep going. Are we happy now? Okay. So this is Corinth. Let's have a look at it. It's now in modern-day Greece. It's on its way. Sure? There it is. Can you see down at the bottom there? Corinth, quite near to Athens. Modern-day Greece now. And it was a key port in the Roman Empire. You can see up there the heel of Italy. So that's how close it is to Italy and then the Holy Roman Empire. It is a port city, but actually there were two parts. There was the north of the city and the south, and there was this 4-mile stretch in between. I'm saying was, there still is. Now, across that 4-mile stretch, there is a canal that ships can go through. Then they had an incredible, almost like a road, and to save boats going right round and all the time they expense for danger of sailing right round, they dragged, carried, pulled the commerce, all the goods across that stretch, and even the boats. It must have been quite a sight. I don't have a photo of that, but it must have been incredible. As Tim explained last week, there was everything going on in this place, and it became known as Sin City. Everything happening there that I'm not getting into. It was also a place for every religion and spirituality. Temples everywhere to everybody's gods, Greek and Roman. Have a look at some of the ruins that you can go and visit. Paul had lived there, the Apostle Paul who wrote this letter, he'd lived there for 18 months. And in many senses, he is the father of this community. Though, you'll note, he did address them as brothers and sisters. He addresses them as equals. It is a new faith community. They've received salvation. Faith has come to them. God has come to them. But they're still working that out. They're actually a lot like us. They're between the now and the not yet. We have salvation. We have forgiveness. We've got a taste of the kingdom of God, but not everything in its fullness. So they're living between that place like we are. So the letter starts traditionally with a normal greetings and a normal message. But then they are blasted with the section that we heard read fabulously, can I say, in both versions. And I don't know if I dare, but I actually want to read it again, but I want to read it in as near as we can get to Yorkshire. So we've got the message version here, which is a paraphrase translation, but sometimes, yeah, I think it is, it's as close to the Yorkshire version as we're going to get. So this comes their way. I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends, using the authority of Jesus, our Master. I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. I bring this up because some from Chloe's family brought a most disturbing report to my attention, that you are fighting amongst yourselves. I'll tell you exactly what I was told. You're all picking sides, going around saying, I'm on Paul's side, I'm for Apollos, Peter is my man, or I'm in the Messiah group. I ask you, has the Messiah been chopped up into little pieces so we can all have a relic of our own? Was Paul crucified for you? Was a single one of you baptized into Paul's name? I was not involved with any of your baptisms, except for Crispus and Gaius. And on getting this report, I'm sure glad I wasn't. At least no one can go around saying he was baptized in my name. Come to think of it, I also baptized Stephanus' family, but as far as I can recall, that's it. God didn't send me out to collect a following for myself, but to preach the message of what he has done, collecting a following for him. And he didn't send me to do it with a lot of fancy rhetoric of my own, lest the powerful action at the centre, Christ on the cross, be trivialised into mere words. So can you imagine their meeting together? A letter is slipped under the door. They read this out. They all glance across at Chloe. She gives them her best, "I told you so" look. I think there might have been a little bit of an atmosphere going on here. So what is going on here? This is about followers. Now, as we know them now, or this image might be... So it's not about how many you've got and how many likes, but it's more in the sense of little monsters or believers. You with me? So little monsters follow anyone? Lady Gaga. Come on. Believers? Thank you. This one I think is rather clever. The victims, they follow the killers. That's good, isn't it? I think I better bring this back to a little bit more local. The bantams follow. Amen. Yes. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about followers, fans, people picking their favourites. So Paul, we know, been with them about 18 months. He taught them. And then he'd moved on. And then other significant figures had come through. And they brought with them their own emphasis, their own testimonies, their own stories, their own personalities, their own way of sharing this same message. And this group here picked their favourites. So can we relate to this? Is this us? Simon? Now, we don't have the big hitters coming through, do we? I'm not offending anybody by saying that. You know, we, on our sermon rota for the rest, up until summer, I've not seen Joyce Meyer or Francis Chan or Bear Grylls. I don't know who you might listen to or watch or are reading, but I don't think they're on their way here. So we don't have that similarity. We also have the New Testament. We have the rest of Scripture. They didn't. They had the Jewish teaching, but they didn't have the full Bible. We are also blessed that we have a full-time, permanent leader. And a lot of churches don't. And if nothing else, that gives us, and it's very much, very much more, but if nothing else, that gives us a firm foundation where we are led, we know who's in charge. Decisions are made in a group with other people, listening to God, listening to others, but we have one leader in charge, and how blessed we are to have that person. It is Tim, by the way, just to, I just thought. I just said that, I know. So our situation is quite different to their situation. In fact, in many ways, it's the opposite, in that we have men and women, young and not so, who are lay people. That's the church's name for people who are not ordained, who are lay people, who are training, who are learning to preach, to lead, to take part in family services, to lead them, to lead our prayers, to have a go at different things. I'm I will have a go at DIY. If there's a little thing that needs doing, I think to myself, how hard can it be? And sometimes I find out how hard it can be. But I think, I'll have a go at that. So, I get on YouTube and I watch how to do it. And I watch a few videos over and over and I get the stuff. But at some point, I actually have to pick up a spanner or whatever these things are, and I give it a go. And it works, or it doesn't work. But I give it a go, and that's what's happening here. We have people training, learning. And you can learn so much sat in those seats. You can watch and think, And you can watch and think, I'd do it like that. Stood up here is a different business. It is a different world. And so let us be a place that encourages those people who are learning, who are trying, those of us who are learning, who are trying, especially our young people. And we have some of them here today who take part in our services, who lead in our services. And it can be terrifying. And those of us up here, we might stutter and we might miss bits. And there might be some big pauses and it might not always go very well. But let's bless them. Let's encourage people. It's okay. It's all right if our services are not always perfect, because we are supporting the gifting of different people that God has laid on people's lives. So that's up here. The passage says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another, that there are no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. So how is that going? If you look along your row, a bit awkward if it's your family, or if you look behind, look in front, do we all get on? Or is there somebody there that you were thinking, I hope I don't catch their eye? No, we are not. We're not all going to be best buds, are we? And we don't always see things eye to eye. We come from different places. But how do we do with the people in this room? In the media at the moment, you can't have failed to miss this Be Kind movement or thought or idea. But it's quickly followed up by the next message. If you can't be kind, be quiet. Meaning, if you're looking at something on social media or you're chatting away and if you've nothing positive to say, don't say anything. Are we okay with that? Is that acceptable here in this room as a standard of behaviour? We are called to higher standards. This isn't a club. If we can't be kind, sort it out. Have a look why. Why are you struggling to look across the room and just pray a blessing on someone? Why is that? what's gone on, what's going on. Pray about it. Examine your thinking. And don't settle for the silent, passive avoidance. We may need to apologise. There may be things that need talking over. We may need to involve a trusted leader or a friend. If this is all in your mind, your heart, perhaps not. Someone once came to our house to make amends. They're not here. And they came to apologise for what they'd thought and what they'd said and the problems that they'd had with me. And they confessed these resentments and these thoughts and apologised sincerely. And off they went. I had no idea. So I was baffled, a little irritated, a little bit hurt. I thought they'd come to see John, if I'm honest. And it left me thinking, who else is waiting down the road or working through things and building up courage to come and tell me how they feel? So, unless you need to apologise to that person because they know what's going on and there have been some issues, I would say give that a miss. Don't go for that. As we grow, as we're doing right now before my eyes, as we grow, there might be more people who come in from different backgrounds where you have no natural connections, no natural links. But let's commit ourselves to rolling up our sleeves and extending a welcome. Let's beware of staying in our own circle. It is so tempting and easy to do that. Little things, perhaps not liking them along there, it may feel that it's trivial. And we're nothing like the people in Corinth. But we need to be wary that small things don't grow into bigger issues, or that we settle for lower standards. Because this is the kingdom of God in here. And we need to be on our guard to protect its unity. Can I say, well done for the unity that we have and the efforts you make. Some of you here are fantastic examples. Some of you make every effort to talk to people, to include everybody, to be right with people. I mean, there is somebody here who talks to people, finds out their name and their family's names, goes home and writes it down and makes notes so that next week, when they come, they know exactly and they're not having to ask again what somebody's name is. Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Isn't the aim that as we come forward for communion, not doing that this week, but we will be next, whether you've come up early and then you're waiting for everybody else or you're waiting for your turn, that we can look at every person and thank God for them and extend a blessing to them. that we can celebrate that ultimate act of love with genuine love between us all, with no exclusions. I've got an image here of Chloe, the hero in this story. All right, Tim last week did get a full photo, full colour photo of Paul, but, you know, just managed here the marble statue. This is the only mention she gets in Scripture. But what an example. Because even in those early days of church community, she knew, she'd grasped how much God loved the church and its importance. And I am emotionally invested in this church. I am emotionally invested in you. And I want us to continue to be unified, and as we grow, for that love to be shared. The church, this church, we are the people of God, founded and centred around Christ Jesus. He is the centre, not personalities or our favourites. It is a community here of faith and love, and we are accountable for our behaviour. And it isn't about us within here. The message of the cross is for all creation, for all humanity. Our vision, it was up at the before the service, on the road and thing, we've got it here now. Our vision as a church community here is to see the community of East Bowling set free and transformed by the love and power of Jesus. Have we got it on the screen? Thank you. Bringing hope and life to the city. Finally, we don't want to be distracted or diluted or reduced by any bickerings, fallouts, lack of unity, division. Let's continue to give this all our energy and effort. Well done for all of you who get this, for your love, for your hard work. We want to guard this diverse, growing family. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for your church here, for your church across this city and across this country and across the world. Thank you that the Church of Christ is above buildings, denominations, hierarchy. May our parts in your universal church bring you glory. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Wonderful stuff.